Welcome to my YouTube channel, Buddhist Biohacker. For those of you who are new to the channel, don't forget to click subscribe. Here below, we are dedicated to creating conscious content in 1111D. We have so much great content coming up for you, so it's worth pressing that subscribe button. And my name is Lisa. I am your mystic guide and host of this show. And I'm really, really excited because this is the beginning of a brand new monthly feature that we are doing with Christine Shaheen. Welcome back, Christine.
Thank you, Lisa. Yeah, I'm very excited to do this with you.
Oh, me too. I just love you so much. And I'm really excited because this show kind of blossomed from us just even talking, and we're like, ah, ancient future. That's like what we need to talk about. And I'd love to welcome everybody who's in the live. I'd love for you to share where you're from. I'd also love for you to share your favorite goddess. So who is your favorite goddess? Put that in the chat box, because I'd love to see who your favorite goddess is, because that's what this show is all about. And Christine, why don't you start out just by sharing who you are and what you do, and then we can kind of get into what ancient future is and what.
Sure. Yeah. Thanks, Lisa. First, thank you. Thank you for your platform and for all the ways that you support cutting edge, sort of outside the box ideas and people. So grateful for that. And so who am I? I am a complex person because I came from the world of maybe Western beauty, but I also ran for political office, and I am a practitioner of what I call wellness beauty, which is different than the Western vision of beauty, which is top down, that says we hold the wisdom of what beauty should be and you want to aspire to that. I'm more of the idea around who are you created? How does that fit into your goals of what you want to achieve for yourself, and express yourself uniquely? And because diversity really is the long-term vision of nature, is always diversity. And so, and then, you know, I have to say, I'm very proud that I am a mother of six and brought them up natural with the herbal remedies and therapies. And they're all alive and they're grown adults doing amazing things. So that's very important part of my life. Recently became a grandmother, which is very, very fun. All of my girlfriends have been saying, wait till you become a grandmother. That's the fun stuff. And I think they're right. And so I evolved from my walk-in salon to an online business after I wrote my book, Natural Hair Coloring, Coloring Hair with Herbs, for a toxic-free hair experience and living. You know, sometimes people just can't handle chemicals, and some people can. So in your discovery of who yourself, you know, it's not about, again, plugging you into one way, what works for you. And is your color easily achievable with herbs? And if not, is that something that you want to stick with? So it's not like an either or situation, but I feel that options are super important. If you're suffering from sensitivities or terminal illness and you still want to be able to color your hair, then there are options for you. And when we feel like there are no options in our life, then things can be really difficult. So I see what I offer as an option. I don't see it as the only way to do something. And so once I wrote the book, I decided that I want to teach it more. I coach women or men, really, because I do have many men that use these herbs as well, on how to create their recipe and how to attain it through whatever steps and mixing of herbs. And so I do that remotely. And then I sell the herbs on my website. So so I have taken that little bit of a leap too, just before everything went online, I was doing it. So, and then I met you, you know, sort of because of that, and you were doing your thing, and we had a mutual, you had Julie Hoyle and my sister Vishali, both from Siddha Yoga roots, you know, and they brought us together, which in the last 10 months has been really phenomenal relationship. I'm so grateful to have it.
Oh, I'm grateful too. And yeah, it's just synchronistic and amazing how things work out, isn't it? And yeah, there's so much that we share in common and that we love, and this is one of them. And yeah, for me, my journey, you know, I was very much plugged in to the matrix in spite of all my gifts and all my weirdo-ness. You know, I found myself in my 20s working in fashion retail and drinking Diet Coke and doing all that stuff. And my journey was really like having to take a good hard look at what I was doing because I got sick. I mean, I had neurological issues and had to make some changes. And within those changes, it led me to Ayurveda. And for me, much like your herbs, I mean, Ayurveda is this beautiful gift of health and healing that's all natural. And I didn't even really know I was practicing Ayurveda, but what I would do is I would like Google search, you know, ailments and the natural remedies for those. And then I would do them and they would really work.
Right.
It was super validating to go get certified in Ayurveda because it was actually really easeful for me. And it was like, oh, I'm already doing all this. Oh, I know this herb does this. It was kind of a weird thing. It was like, wow. And, you know, learned diet really does heal everything. Like, if you really just want to be disciplined with your diet, you ultimately could cure all ailments, I feel, in the body, really. It's just, we don't always want that, right? We want the instant gratification of taking a Tylenol or something instead of really listening to what your headache's telling you. Like, I have one today and I've really had to listen to like, what is this all about and what is it telling me, rather than, you know, hiding it or blocking it or restricting that energy flow. And look at all these amazing goddesses. We have Durga. Hello. I think, how do you say your name? Is it Maja? Is that right? Do you think? She's saying Durga. Loreen from New York is here. Welcome. She says Sophia is her goddess. Vishali, hello. Lakshmi, of course, Lakshmi, Vishali. You're like Lakshmi embodied, I think, like when I think of her photo. Claire said that her patron goddess is Brigid, the Celtic goddess. I love that so much. And Artemis, oh, that's interesting because those are the aliens that came and visited me this week. So they were from Artemis. So we'll have to talk about that. And then Lena, I love you so much too. And she said Inanna is her favorite goddess at this time. Look at all these goddesses. I love it.
That's so great. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And so, Lisa, when we were having that conversation around ancient future and, you know, it kind of, we were just talking about, like you said, Ayurveda and all of these older practices and how we are at that place where we could very easily lose a lot of that knowledge because there's like, and it's not even a cultural appropriation. In some regards, it's an erasure, right? It's mm-hmm. kind of like, well, this is the dominant narrative now. And this dominant narrative can just erase everything that all of our ancestors had been able to cultivate and gift us. And then when you had said, you know, it's about how do we bring these practices into the future? And I remember when I was writing my book, I specifically said in there that it was a passion of mine to take these old practices, these herbs, many of them were used medicinally, like henna was used medicinally, indigo was used medicinally. So they have their medicinal purposes as well as we're using them to color hair. But they take a while to saturate the hair. And so my dilemma was, if I was going to offer a natural eco salon, which, you know, there are very different definitions of what that is. But if I were going to try to do something with pigments and use the ancient herbs, there had to be a way of being able to make them more user-friendly in a fast-paced world, because they take sometimes several hours to stain the hair, and sometimes longer, depending on what we're trying to achieve. And so that's when I started to wrap women's hair, teach them how to be able to do chores and or run errands, or even in some cases, some of my clients were professors, teachers, and they would come in and I would put the herbs in their hair and we would wrap them, and they would literally go teach a class or attend the class. And nobody's, you know, suspecting. It's not like they smell horrible. And then come in after class and get a washout, you know. So mm-hmm. It was fun to kind of experience how to keep these ancient pigments relevant, again, in a fast-paced world. And initially what was an interesting side effect was as they started to brave a little bit more and decide, well, you know, I will go outside with my hair wrapped, you know, in a pretty scarf. They would start with like maybe running an errand to our local community co-op. And they would walk in the door, and initially people in the co-op would be more used to somebody who had had cancer coming in with their hair, with their head wrapped, because they had lost hair. And so they would say, oh, are you all right? And then after about a year of having people stop in to buy something with their little hair wrapped, they'd be like, oh, now we know you're visiting Christine and you've got herbs in your hair. So it was kind of fun. It was a fun journey. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, it's fun. You know, so I've now been coloring my hair with henna, and I had so much fun. And that even ties into what we're talking about with ancient future, because I think here's this thing that's very natural and ancient and traditional. Yeah. And, you know, you wonder if it's something you should do or not. We're all used to the salons and the chemicals and all those things. But there is something really profound about putting those in your hair and like painting your hair, essentially. It was like so fun, and I felt so empowered, and I felt creative. I felt like, oh, this is like really fun and creative, and it really was so easy. You know, it's just an amazing thing. And I think that that's a lot of, you know, what you and I were talking about with ancient future, is there's these simple things from our ancestors that if we do them now, if we apply them today, they're just as powerful, and it's like taking your power back. It's very empowering. It's like, I'm in control. I don't have to rely on someone or something else to do whatever it is you're trying to do.
I mean, Lisa, that can be extended to like our energy issues of the day, right? I mean, our ancestors did use wind. They did use water. They did use sun, you know, in different ways, maybe. Maybe they didn't have photovoltaic you know, panels to collect sun energy, but they used sun. And in some regards, you know, our designs are different today. You know, they're kind of boxy and they're kind of enclosed. And in some cultures, they were much more, it's, you know, and again, these have to do with geographic areas. So they're different. They're different practices. So what you're going to find in my culture of the Middle East is going to be different than what we're going to find in, say, the Irish culture. Mm-hmm. How they constructed buildings and how they grew their crops, because it was unique to their their geography or ecosystem, right? Was mm-hmm. unique to that. And in our current state, we just do this block thing of like, well, we're all humans, and so we all react this way to all the same things. And that also is not true, right? Mm-hmm. It's like some people absolutely may need a pharmaceutical, and other people probably need some other, like you said, Ayurveda and diet. And who are we, again, as I go back to saying the herbs are an option for people. They're not, I'm not saying that every salon needs to be doing herbs. You know, where do you fit in that puzzle? And in fitting in that puzzle, we're naturally reducing our footprint or our impact, mm-hmm. because we're just lightening it up in places where it might need lightening up, you know? Mm-hmm. And didn't you discover that your grandmother used henna?
Yes. It was really funny. Yes. My mom was like, oh, she's like, my mom used to do that all the time. She's like, that's how she colored her hair. She's like, I remember her saran wrapping her hair. And I was like, oh my God, my grandma did this, which is so cool. It's so cool.
Yeah.
And I was going to say too, like, you're making me think, like, there's also the why, like, why reduce the footprint? And that, you know, ties into this feminine energy, the divine feminine. I mean, we are like Mother Earth is the divine feminine. It's a woman, it's a creative force. It's the empress, it's the goddess. And so the natural desire to connect with her through these different choices. And I think it's important to go into the fact that there has been this holocaust of the woman healer for so long.
Yes.
And this desire to control and manipulate genetics.
Her body.
Yes. And there's something really powerful, especially as a woman. And I'm not saying it's not powerful for a man, because I think it probably is also. But directly to speak to the women part of it, it's empowering to be able to align with who you really are as a woman and to be able to trust your intuition. And I think the lack of self-worth, the challenges around taking care of ourselves, healing ourselves, trusting our intuition, like these things have been repressed for years and years and years and years and years. And so this is like the bringing it out and saying, you know what, I really do know what to do to heal myself.
Yeah.
And it's okay to be my own advocate. And I actually know what I need to do for my body and what I don't want to put in it or on it anymore.
Right. Absolutely. Couldn't have said it better. Absolutely.
Well, I have this Lemuria. It's called Beyond Lemuria. It's these cards, which are really beautiful. Maybe we'll pull a couple for some of the audience later. Mm-hmm. But in this book, it talks about our ancient future. So I wanted to share this.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's so beautiful. So this is what it says. Right now, the legends of the Lemurian civilization feel important, as wisdom from this ancient time is relevant. The fall of Lemuria alerts us to the possibility that humanity may face if we live without respect for the earth. An ancient remembering is emerging. I love that so much. Ancient remembering is emerging. Many of the seed crystals and the knowledge they are imbued with are becoming unearthed. All those who can see a better future are not just dreaming. Their hearts and minds are hearkening to the core of earth-based traditions to bring through knowledge that will help shift this paradigm into balance. It is said that the Lemurians who survived the fall traveled the planet and ended up in the places where inspiring indigenous knowledge far outweigh what Western minds have come to prioritize. The ancient Egyptians, Mayans, Inca, Tibetans, Maoris, indigenous Australians, and Hopi are examples. These ancient knowledge keepers of Earth have been holding the key for a new world. We are being called back to our roots to acknowledge the infinite wisdom available when we drop to our knees in humble receptivity. To move gracefully forward, we must stand in our power for the places, ethics, and conservation of what matters most. When we heal ourselves, we heal our ancestors. As illuminated beings ready to make a change in the collective consciousness, we take on more than our fair share of karma. We may be clearing some of the wounds from our ancestors, and with this in mind, we can ease through the waves, allowing guidance and empowered perspective to lead us to the greatest good.
That's beautiful.
Isn't it?
And so what is it, a book?
It is an oracle card deck. Okay. It was given to me. So here's the cards. And then this is the book that it comes with. It's called Beyond Lemuria.
Beautiful.
It's really an incredible deck. I'm not going to lie. It's pretty incredible. Right. But I love ancient remembering.
Yes. Like,
that is absolutely what's happening right now, I think.
I agree with you. Absolutely. And of course, you know, when we look at the words that are sometimes they're right in front of our face, and we don't always, because we're brought up with a certain understanding. And so we don't always see into the parts of words. But remembering, right, is to take the members and put them back together. And that brings us to the story of Isis and her remembering Horus, who was her love and was split apart, and she remembered him. She took his body pieces and put them together because of her love, and her love brought him back to life. This simple word, you know, oh, I don't know if I can remember that, or if this, or remember. And we, you know, we think that we know what that word means, and yet there's such a depth to that word of remembering. And then when you read that piece from the Lemuria, and really saying we are remembering, then you can literally see that coming together of the knowledge, the wisdom, the old ways. That it's not like the old ways didn't have issues, right? And it's not to say that we aren't going to do some really beautiful things in the future, but again, it's like, how do we bring them together into the future in a way that we're not losing it. It's not erased. It's a continuation and maybe a morphing, you know.
Mm-hmm. God, that's beautiful. And I'm so glad we chose Isis first. You know, my first, I don't know if I said this to you or not, Christine, but my very first office as a psychic was at Isis Bookstore.
Oh, that's so
and
great.
The whole bookstore is, Karen is the owner, and she's amazing. And her birthday is on Halloween. So it's only fitting that she's this incredible witch and runs this metaphysical bookstore called Goddess Isis. But the whole entire building is dedicated to Isis. So everything in it is Egyptian and beautiful and fabulous. And it's really wonderful. But one of the things, I mean, you're just giving me goosebumps when you're talking about remembering, because, you know, I tuned in with Isis and the energy of her message today, and it was all about past lives, connecting with your past and your ancestry and other experiences that you've had in your life and your roots. And it goes back to what you're saying about, you know, it's pulling all these pieces together that make us who we are. I think we forget we're actually these fragments. We're these soul fragments, and we're having all these different experiences, and that's actually part of who we are. Like, there's a reason you're connected to herbs. There's a reason I'm doing this psychic work. It's all because it's part of our ancestral lineage, but it's also part of our other lifetime experiences that are happening simultaneously, right? It's like all of these things coming together to bring you into the present moment of who you are. It's really beautiful.
It is, definitely. Yeah, so we had some really good offerings from our little group that's on with us. So let me think. It was Bridget and Anna.
Sophia.
Lakshmi. Oh, Sophia. Yeah. And so I think that the fun thing will be that we start with what they have offered. Today we're going to get into a little bit of Isis. And one of the reasons why we did that. And oh, by the way, Lisa, where is this bookstore?
It's in Denver.
Denver.
It is. It's in Denver, Colorado, and it's still around. So I can give them a shout out.
Definitely.
Yeah, really fabulous store. And actually, the Goddess Isis bookstore in Denver, if you search it up, as my kids would say, they have a huge mailing.
Oh, great. That's what I was wondering.
Yeah. And they make all these, like, you can get your own incense magic mixed there and stuff.
Oh, that's great.
I'll pull some out. I have some here. It's like only Isis smells a certain way. Like whenever I burn Isis incense, people are like, oh, you smell like Isis. If you're in Colorado, you know. Hold on. I might have to search it up here because I think it's underneath. I have all these little boxes everywhere in case people are wondering. So I'm going to put my computer. So this holds my computer up.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful.
But my incense is in here. So these are special mixes from Isis. So you put
That is so great.
Yeah. They're traditional on charcoal in your little charcoal burner. But yeah, let me tell you, if I could just transmit the smell to everyone, you have no idea how powerful and fantastic these are. And they're always in my little magic box. That's also my computer stand.
Exactly.
Ancient future.
Exactly. Exactly. So, let's see. I brought up a few things. Oh, one of the things that I wanted to also share with our group today is Girl God Books. Girl God Books was started by Trista Hendren. And it's because her daughter couldn't find the divinity in herself. And so if you Google Girl God Books, you'll find a whole bunch of books that are in print that you can read to your son or daughter around the wisdom that they don't necessarily have access to. And as you were reading on Lemuria, I wanted to also share about a verse or two here about we know her as Isis, which is her Greek name. In her Egyptian name, she is Aset. So there's very different ways of spelling Aset, but that is her original name. Mm-hmm. And when she was extolled as Isis, it kind of Europeanized her somewhat. And so there is a movement to bring her back home to Egypt. Mm. And so what I wanted to read on this this is a quote. In the beginning, there was Isis Aset, oldest of the old. She was the goddess from whom all beginning arose. She was the great lady, mistress of the two lands of Egypt, mistress of shelter, mistress of heaven, mistress of the house of life, mistress of the word of God. She was unique in all her great and wonderful works. She was wiser, a wiser magician, and more excellent than any other god. And that was translated from ancient Egyptian texts. And so we also have this, come to me, For my speech hath it in the power to protect and in possesseth of life. I am Isis, the goddess, and I am the lady of words of power. Isis, the goddess, and the great enchantress of the head of the gods. Heaven is satisfied with the words of the goddess Isis, the great lady, the god mother, the giver of life, the divine one, the only one, the greatest of the gods and goddesses, the queens of all gods, the female Ra, the female Horus, the eye of Ra, lady of the new year, maker of the sunrise, lady of heaven, and light and giver of heaven. Now, when I read that, I'm missing something here. What was interesting to me is that my mother has this beautiful picture of the Blessed Mother Mary that was in her church as a young girl in Lebanon. And she is standing on a crescent, and underneath it in Arabic is some words. And I asked my mother one day, I said, what does that say? And she said, it means Queen of Heaven. So that was another term that was used for the goddess, is Queen of Heaven. Mm. And yet here she is in a Catholic church called the Queen of Heaven, you know? Mm-hmm. And in Lebanon, it's great. I was there a few years ago, about 7 years ago, and I was there in May, and that was the month where they parade a statue of Mary through the town and throw flowers. And they have, like in Rio de Janeiro, they have the big statue of Christ on a mountaintop overlooking the ocean. Well, in Lebanon, they have a huge statue of the Blessed Mother. And she has her arms outstretched looking over Beirut and the Mediterranean. So we know that the mother, the goddess, has been revered in many, many cultures. But we always assumed that in the Middle East, that because of the patriarchy being so strong, that there was no evidence of her there. And yet more and more with these archaeological digs, they are finding more and more evidence around the goddess worship. And we tend to feel that they have taken and disempowered that by saying that it was a pagan thing. But in reality, God was first, imaged and imagined as female, because there were three mysteries around women. This is like before they kind of came to their own understandings. But these three mysteries of the women were that she would bleed on a regular basis. And oftentimes it could be profuse, but she was never harmed by that. It was something that she just did. She created life from herself. And that, like I said, this is before they really said, oh, I had a seed and it contributed to that. But in those days when they saw that she birthed something from herself and oftentimes looked different than herself, and then she sustained, the third mystery, she sustained that life from her body. So here she bleeds, that blood gives life to the earth. She creates life from her body. She nurtures that life from her body. And those were very mystical. So when we hear the terms, I am the Alpha, and I am the Omega. We assume, you know, from that, from our teachings through a patriarchal lens, that it is I am the beginning and I am the end through the lens of God. But when we understand that in these matriarchal societies, before there was tubes to sustain injured people or the dying and the sick, that there were groups of women that continued their lactation process so that they could easily give nourishment to orphaned children, to the sick, to the wounded, to the dying, then you can see how the Alpha, you start at the mother's breast, and the Omega, you end your life at the mother's breast, because that's the only form of nourishment some very frail people can consume. So now we start to understand where this, it's not a pagan thing. It's just a recognition, not that pagan religions are wrong or bad, but I feel like anything that we don't understand, we sort of lump in there, and then it gives paganism a bad name, and then it gives everything. So and my understanding of pagan is more earth-based, and this is more of a feminine base. So, and while it does honor the seasons and the seasons of life, there are some unique differences between goddess and paganism, I believe. But I'm still learning, so I don't know. I don't know, but I can hypothesize sometimes.
Everything, you said so much, and I have so many goosebumps around me. I'm like, I don't know where to go because there's so much energy from all of this goddess talk. Yeah, I mean, what I studied was feminine form Ayurveda. So it was definitely at the Shakti school. It's definitely a very different experience than I think if I would have gone through a traditional form of teaching. And so the teaching was very experiential and somatic and verbal. And so, you know, when you're speaking of this, you know, the thing that's so powerful about Tantra and the feminine form practices is that the Shakti, the God force is inside of you and it's not outside of you. And I think those, like you're talking about, those patriarchal systems are so focused on this energy is out here and you don't have the ability to control that energy. And the feminine energy, it's about being in here and knowing that we do have the power, and it doesn't come from a control space, from that yellow solar plexus male energy. It comes from the heart, you know, it's that green, rich, heartfelt energy where you know and trust that you're able to move with the forces of nature and truly letting go of the outcome. You know, I think things with modern medicine, for example, it's about controlling the outcome, right? It's about, well, we can change this and fix this. And there's a place for that. It's great that we can do surgeries and things. But there's also something really beautiful about just naturally going through the process of life, you know, whatever that looks like. And, right. You know, even my dog, Max, he was a basset hound. He was fabulous. But I had a vision. He was going to pass away and I was really upset about it. And my husband at the time thought I was completely crazy because Max seemed fine and he was only 9 years old. And then sure enough, he got sick and he had lymphoma. And to me, my response, my natural response was I felt he was ready to leave. I felt like he's like, I hate my body. And he was a basset hound. He didn't like being short. And he felt really happy. Like he didn't feel upset he was sick. He wasn't moping around. He was kind of like, okay, I'm sick and I'm going to leave this body. And my decision was to not treat him. my decision was to let him do his thing. And they said he had a couple weeks, and he actually went 6 weeks and had this really great experience in those last 6 weeks. And that was, you know, 2008. So that was quite a bit of time ago. Knowing what I know now and looking back on that, I think that is the natural, you know, there's this approach to life of sometimes it's worth going through the process, no matter how painful, than trying to stop nature's process of whatever nature is doing. And I think that that's so powerful. And so in a lot of ways, I think paganism and the goddess, you know, they're all hand in hand, because when you're connected with Mother Earth and nature and the process of nature and the energies, the natural order of things. And I think you can see, without getting into it, losing my YouTube channel, you can see all around us where we're not following the natural order of things in all sorts of ways. And right. The distortion of the divine masculine and the divine feminine and what's happening, there's a lot of distorted energy, and that's an Atlantean based energy. That is what they did in Atlantis. That civilization took the Lemurian civilization that was very natural and began to manipulate it, manipulating DNA, manipulating weaponry, manipulating crystal energy, and they blew themselves up. And this is our opportunity to bring it together. I mean, that's what I think, Christine. I think we're in a unique position to take the technology and the futuristic energies of that Atlantean civilization and blend it with the Lemurian civilization and actually have it come together in a way that we can be in a high-tech environment like this, having this conversation, you know, across the internet, and at the same time be very natural and connected with ourselves and in our own flow.
You know, Lisa, that's great, because I don't ever remember hearing anything about that relationship between Lemuria and Atlantis until now. And it really makes a lot of sense. And all of a sudden, what occurred to me too is the word history, right? And history really is that, again, those words that are in front of our face every single day that we have a different understanding of. But when you really look into it, history is his story, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's why there's not a lot of women in the history books, right? Because these are his stories. And hence, you know, Trista Hendren being like, well, you know, my daughter needs to have some her stories.
Yes.
Right. We need her stories. Now, that doesn't mean that her story is, elevated or somehow better than his story. But now we're approaching our story. Because if we don't erase her story and we add her story to his story, then we have a more balanced story and it becomes our story.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, absolutely. Well, and I think, you know, the thing is, traditionally the women did talk to each other and they passed down the healing and the teachings and the wisdom. And, you know, there was this whole, you know, concept of women communities. And I'm obsessed and love the whole red tent. I'm like, if I had a red tent to go sit in when I was in my cycle and talk to other women and just lay around, that'd be super awesome. I'm totally into that.
Yeah, we did have a red tent, and Lorene was part of it, and Lena was part of it, and I don't know if anybody else that's on our thread was part of it, but red tent is a very powerful and wonderful gathering for women. And initially I wasn't really sure why I was so attracted to it, because I'd been, as an eco-activist on boards of directors, I was one of maybe two women on some of these boards. And so it wasn't that I didn't have sisterhoods, but it was mostly I was a lone woman with maybe a handful of other women that were in these very male-dominated cultures. And And so I, when I heard of the Red Tent, and I hosted Things That We Don't Talk About, was a movie on Red Tents and stuff. And I was like, well, you know, I'm just going to do it. And then when we did it, it was so profound of a shift for me, because all of a sudden I realized it was an energetic thing. It wasn't this mental thing. Women, when we just gather as women, we goof off, and there's so much laughter, and that laughter is what elevates our spirits, and that elevation of our spirit is what allows us to continue to do the things that we do all the time, you know. And yet we're in this culture that has us separated into our little units in these nuclear families, and then we're responsible for our family and our this, and we don't even have extended families anymore, right? Whereas like probably when you were growing up, and I know it was true when I was growing up, at least we had our aunties and our grandmothers and our cousins, and so we had a little bit more of an extended experience. But today it's very different. So yeah, Red Tent is definitely a powerful experience to have.
I love it more now. Because yeah, I learned about it, of course, in Shakti's school. And then it was like, well, gosh, I want to do this. So the fact that you've hosted these makes me love you even more.
Yeah, eight years, I think we did. It was so great. And sometimes we would have 3 women, and sometimes we'd have 30 women, and you never knew what it was going to be. But every time it was unique and fabulous.
Yeah, it's just, and that's the thing is, like, just like you said, I mean, what are we passing down, and what are the women, you know, how do the women come together? I feel really lucky because, you know, my mom like taught me how to cook and spent time with me in the kitchen. And, you know, my grandmother, my great grandmother, we weren't as close, but they wrote, and I can go back to their writings now and connect in with them. I shared in the Ajatakasha.
Yeah, that was great.
Oh, my great-grandmother's letter. It just makes me cry every time I read it. If you guys have not read my great-grandmother's letter, it is up on my blog, and it's so raw and real about her life experience and why she chose to marry who she chose and what that was all about. I mean, it's just this incredible gift that my mom found. And my great grandmother, Viola Hunt, was incredible and has been with me so much. And so I feel lucky, you know, that the women in my family have been connected. My niece works for me, right? Like we all, my sister's very close with me. So we all stay connected and communicate. But, you know, it's so important as women that we share these stories of our life, of our experiences, of who we are. Because otherwise you miss it. And I can't tell you as a medium how many people I read, how many women I read that are connecting with loved ones that have passed on, that are moms and grandmothers and things like that, that they just never connected with. They never had those conversations, and now they're having to do it in a completely different way.
Yeah. So Lisa, I'm wondering if we can ask who's remaining what they would like to see for next time.
Yeah. Well, and I see some writing about junk DNA, which I don't think any DNA is actually junk. So I hate that term, but I'm so glad you brought it up, Eve. And I'm with you on the ancient technologies, super obsessed with all that. So that's one thing we can put on our list is all this DNA and what is happening with it. And it is, you know, our DNA is being bought and sold galactically. That's something to understand. Like, we have the ability to manipulate DNA on this planet, like, exponentially compared to other planets and other life systems that are out there. So that's something we could talk about, too. Mm-hmm. And while you guys write down what you want to talk about next time, I have a little message from Isis that I found.
Oh, great.
I'm gonna share. Yeah, it was really beautiful. It's part of this Oracle card deck, and I just found it online, and I thought it was really beautiful. It says, "Your roots upon this planet are strong and deep. and some of the roots have anchored you in past memories from faraway times. These roots have anchored you so deeply that sometimes you feel paralyzed when it comes to moving forward. Sometimes you bury these memories to shield yourself from psychic pain, so you will not remember those awkward moments when life tested you to the max. Reveal those lessons to yourself now, strong sorceress, and move forward with the confidence that you have sage wisdom behind you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, beautiful. And I love that we both, now where did your Isis papyrus come from?
I believe we were in San Francisco, and it was a gift to my son who was just graduating high school. And I had it framed, and he's been a nomad, so Mama's been using it in her salon and all these places until he finally has a place where she will reside with him. And I, you know, looking at this image too, Lisa, and just hearing what your message was from her, just, you know, looking at these outstretched arms, right? And in Christian symbology, that's the cross, right? Mm-hmm. But it's like the cross is separate from the resurrection. But because she has the wings, I always interpreted this as like that, whatever that thing is that nails you, because we all get something that nails us, right? Mm-hmm. Is that thing that liberates us. Mm-hmm. And in Christian symbology, there's that, you know, descension into hell, which is confusion, and you just don't know, and all of that, because that's just hell. And then you choose resurrection, right? That's that day where you say, I'm sorry, I cannot live in this crazy chaos anymore. I'm choosing resurrection. And when you choose resurrection, that means you're going to continue your life, and you're going to go on, and you're going to move forward. Then comes ascension. But in this symbol, it's all in one. It's like, it's so powerful, right? Mm. Because those wings are right there.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, mine is Isis and Osiris. And my sister lived in the Middle East, actually. She's the adventurous one that's been to all the places that I don't know that I'd be brave enough to go. So she actually got this papyrus, I think, in Bahrain. And she got it because it represents partnership, and she wanted me to have that in my life. But you know what's interesting is, you know, Isis in this photo, she has the sun above her head.
Yes.
And a very interesting fact. So I've been really deep into the bone tradition in Tibet, much older than the Vajrayana Tantra tradition. And isn't this fascinating, Christine? In Tibet, the old, we're talking bone, it's B-O-N with the little dots above the O. This is like ancient, 6,000-7,000 years old. This is the ancient shamans in the Himalayas. What they practiced, so in our world, Western society, right, and even Eastern society, the women's side of the body is the left side,
right.
The masculine side is the right side, and the woman is the moon, the man is the sun. Well, in the Tibetan tradition, ancient bone tradition, women are the sun, and they are the right side of the body. They are not the moon. It is flipped. And as we know, of course, Egypt, they worshiped the sun. I mean, that was what they did. And it's a really powerful thing to practice yantra yoga, which is the Tibetan form of yoga, because everything is opposite.
Yeah.
And I've been working with it for about a year now. And it's funny, Christine, to really look as a woman, what does it mean to embody the sun energy, that dominant energy? I don't know that I can even share in words. It just is really profound. So I highly recommend, you know, sitting on the right side of the body this week, like in honor of the goddess, and seeing what it feels like to be in the sun space in a feminine energy. It's kind of
interesting. That's great, Lisa. And then maybe our participants would like to share what that's like next session.
Oh, I love that. I love that so much. And I can share, I have a tradition. I'll see what I can put together. I'll try to share some stuff with you guys about that. I'm making a little note.
And if you're not on a Jatakatsa, please join. It's great.
Oh, yes.
Thanks, Lisa, for that space.
It's so good. I have so much to catch up on today because I had Cauldron's little emergency yesterday. So I got to get on there and catch up. But yes, please absolutely subscribe to this YouTube channel. I think Christine's YouTube channel will be up soon, I'm thinking.
Yep.
So, but definitely subscribe to Buddhist Biohacker. And if you have not yet joined the Ajatakasha community, all of the information is here on the YouTube channel. Or you can go to my website, Lisa M. Gunshore. But Christine has her own group in Ajatakasha that you can join to connect with her personally. And Christine, you want to share what your group is? And
it's called Beauty and Blessings Naturally, because of course we want you to have lots of beauty and blessings.
I love it. I need to go in there because I want to share. I took photos of all the henna hair color I did, and so I want to share the photos. That was really fun. I'm so excited to do. I got to do it again here, and I'm pretty excited about it. So
thank you.
And they're asking how to find my grandmother's letter. So I posted it in Ajatakasha, but if you go to my website, I just put it in a link here. You can just go to my blog, and it's actually right on the one of the first couple pages of blog articles, and it says letter to from my great grandmother. But it's so beautiful.
It is beautiful.
She was amazing. So my great grandmother was 98 when she passed away. And she was still channeling, writing stacks and stacks of papers of spirit, just speaking through her. And she was very, very magical. I only met her a couple of times in my whole life, but she had a farm in Salem, Oregon. And she killed her own chickens and took care of the farm and did her thing. And I remember braiding daisies into my hair. And actually, I have a picture of that day. This is worth sharing for the end of the show. Hold on. This is on my altar in my office, but this is all of us.
Oh, that's great, Lisa.
So this is my great grandmother, Viola, and my mom, and my grandma, Soto, across, and my sister, Kim. And me. This is all of the psychic women.
That is a great photo.
On my great grandmother's farm in Salem, Oregon. That was the day we braided daisies into our hair. And it was really, really magical and special. So talk about herstory. It's right here. This is the herstory of my family right here.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Oh, I just love you. Share how everyone can connect with you and find you and all those good things.
ChristineShaheen.com, Ajatakasha, I'm on Facebook and Instagram. I am the Mother Goddess on Instagram.
Yes, and we can also, I'll post the link to this show under Buddhist Biohacker in Ajatakasha. So if you want to go in there, we can keep this conversation going in our Buddhist Biohacker forum in there, yeah?
Yeah.
And keep talking goddesses and every other thing. And
yeah.
I just love you, Christine. I'm so excited about this show. It's so exciting.
Thanks, everyone, for joining us. And who knows, maybe a virtual red tent is in our future.
Yes. Oh, my God. Yes. It just makes me so happy thinking of it. I don't know. It just does.
I know. We'll see.
Thank you guys so much. Much love to you, and have an amazing day.
Yep.